Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Word association with John MacArthur.
I use the complete idiot's guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is that smell?
The thrill of victory. And the agony of defeat.
Lots of agony. In victory. Did you watch any of the Olympics? Well, then you might be one of the 7 people who did. People winning are crying. You'd think they lost. What happened to our world? This is Wretched Radio, spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of a bunch of stuff we didn't know what else to do with, except ends a sentence with a preposition. Jimmy, do you smell that?
I thought that was your cologne again.
Well, I'm still not sure that I've got the balance on this deal. There's some days the spritzer, I was given some cologne. And it spritzes, and sometimes it's like, oh, I just took another shower. Other times, you know what you're supposed to do? I think you spray it in the air and then you
walk into it.
But you can't do that like a man. You just can't do that.
Well, so some days you smell like one of my teenage boys in an Axe body spray.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts a lot. That's so funny. You ever want to see marketing work? Because you know what? I remember with Jack as a teen, it's like that had to be the stuff, man. The X, whatever deodorant or is. It's like, but it smells like the before, not the after. I don't know why they seem to. Well, this is a new perfume I am staring at. The Ulta Beauty magazine. That's right. Ulta, because Jimmy gets a subscription. And on the front of it, it appears to be Ariana Grande. Although if she fell through the ceiling and landed on my desk, I would say, excuse me, who are you?
I'm glad you said her name right, though.
I did get it right. Ariana Grande. Why is there some sort of scuttle over that?
No,
these don't say it right.
No. You said it right.
Okay. God is a woman.
No.
The new fragrance. Apparently she has a song called that. And now they're using a full-on sentence to describe a product. I think this might be unprecedented. You know, everything has got a name to it. Skittles, Coca-Cola, you go banana. So, a noun to describe a person, place, or thing. Now it's a full sentence. This has got a verb. It's got a subject. It's got a direct object. God, actually, is it a direct object when it's a predicate nominative? At any rate, since when do we start calling stuff by a sentence? Oh, yeah, I remember, since we have an agenda. Kind of stinky. And speaking of kind of stinky, if you don't mind me saying so, you know, I appreciate the idea that we Christians are kind and that we Christians are willing to show we can play in the sandbox called America. But I don't think that means that we have to give a full-throated endorsement to something that could be potentially promoting a bad religion to a high level. Nevertheless, there are some evangelicals, according to the Christian Post, who are voicing support for the Biden nomination to the top religious freedom post, who is a Muslim. And folks are saying, whoop-de-doo, we think that's terrific. You know, it's not. It's not that the guy can't have the job. I wouldn't want to put a rope around his ankle and rip him from his position. But I don't think that I have to celebrate when somebody who is in a false system is promoted to a high level, especially when all you need to do is take a look around the globe to see what nations are being persecutors. And they tend to either be godless places like China and North Korea, or they tend to be places like the Middle East. And I'm not talking about Israel here. I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, these countries in Pakistan, that are Islamic are the grossest violators of religious freedom. I'm sorry. I wish I could celebrate, but I can't do it exactly. And speaking of being persecuted elsewhere, did you know that there's a little problem that's been brewing in godless and Islamic countries around the globe? And that would be sexism. Shh. We don't talk about sexism outside of this country, just in this country. If you believe that a woman should be anything but the CEO of everything, you're sexist. But in other countries where babies in utero are killed because they are female, not a word is spoken about that. And so it is, the scientists are now worried that there's not going to be enough women. And frankly, the way that the article was phrased is actually funnier than that. There's going to be too many men. Because don't forget, we are the bad gender, aren't we? In some countries, upcoming generations may be overwhelmingly male as cultural pressures cause expecting parents to bring only their male embryos to term. No, it's not a cultural issue. It's actually a mandated issue. It is a government issue. It is the ruling religion issue. This is not just, well, you know, some cultures, they like to put cherry syrup on top of ice cream. In Italy, they use a really good vinegar. No, it's not vinegar. That's vinegar, right? Balsamic vinegar. That's the dark stuff. Really tasty. It actually goes well on ice cream. I don't know if you've ever tried that. I know. What? I'm telling you. In Italy, it's like a big whoop-de-doo, and they actually taste it. They have competitions about their balsamic vinegar, and they put it on ice cream. Don't knock it till you tried it.
I don't want to try it.
I want to be embalmed with balsamic vinegar. it has the B-A-L. It's close. I want to just enjoy it for as long as possible. The researchers counted a total of 45 million, quote, missing female births between 1970 and 2017. 45 million. Let's not say missing, murdered females. That's what has happened there. Killed because of their gender. 95% of which came from India and China. Stemming from what they call prenatal sex discrimination. Well, okay. I mean, I guess you could come up with a different word for just about anything to water it down. This certainly seems to be one of them there times. Prenatal sex discrimination. They're killing women because of their religion. Christianity does not dominate India. Christianity does not dominate China. So you, if you're in the West, are rightly thinking, well, does Christianity dominate here? And the answer is less and less, which means more and more danger for women. These radical feminists that think that they're doing women a favor, they're not, because if we move away from godly principles, they will be the ones that will feel the weight of that. The scientists warn that this sex discrimination and the imbalance of males and females will likely lead to violence and even worse treatment of women. There you have it. To break that cycle, the researchers call for closer monitoring of newborn demographics in the relevant countries, especially better legal protections for women and girls. They need a religion overhaul. That's what they need. You've got bad religious systems that are bearing bad fruit. And the feminists say nothing. And speaking of PU, this stinks. And we should be very aware of what is happening, courtesy of our government and the University of Pittsburgh. Guess what they're doing? They are funding selling of babies, specifically black babies. Shh, don't say a word about that. For what purpose? For research, so they say. It was a little over $2 million has been spent from the government, your tax dollars at work, sent to the University of Pittsburgh. We do not know about other universities at this point, but we do know that they are getting research money. The University of Pittsburgh targeted minorities in its request for infant organs. including those taken from full-term babies, to create a pipeline for fetal research. Researchers said they needed 50% of the donated fetuses to be minorities and specified that 25% must come from black women. Pittsburgh, by the way, 85% white, 8% black. Maybe that's some of that affirmative action stuff being applied. The National Institutes of Health has overseen experiments on fetal organs at the University of Pittsburgh since 2015, when the school claimed to be a tissue hub. Babies in the research ranged from 6 to 42 weeks of gestation. And you and I are paying for it indirectly. There's a distinct possibility, writes Dr. David Prentice, that some of these babies are born alive and then their tissues and organs are being removed. Oh, America, America. Might want to think about supporting preborn ministries, as this weighs heavy on your heart. $28 ultrasound, 80% of the time a baby lives. We can still save lives that way. This is Wretched Radio.
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, we are grateful and we're thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, with your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and yes, even your snarks at idea@wretched.org or on Beep Talk 1-877-282-BEEP. However you decide to reach out, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you, just like this email we recently received from a listener who prefers to remain anonymous. It reads, "Thank you so much for the encouragement. You remind me my focus needs to be on Jesus, not the world. Thanks for being so uplifting, even when it's uncomfortable." And hey, we thank you too for the encouragement. So send us those wretched stories. Send us those questions, comments, conundrums, and even the snarks at idea@wretched.org or leave a voicemail at Beep Talk 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let me take you to a very small, very poor village in Moldova where there is not one Tomorrow Club. There are actually two.
In one of the clubs, there were 80 kids, and in the other club, there were like 65 kids, and we were amazed when we walked into those buildings just to sit and watch all of these kids who, they were very unruly, but yet they were there with nothing else really to do in that village. They were happily attending the Tomorrow Club and memorizing Bible verses, singing hymns, and praying to the Lord. It was so unbelievably beautiful. We hope and pray that they'll find hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Would you like to help 30 children find that hope? You can be supporting 30 disciples for $30 a month through the Tomorrow Clubs. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Now, it seems like everywhere you look, you're finding or not finding what you're looking for. There are shortages on just about everything you can possibly imagine. Obviously, we're not immune and we're not able to predict how that might affect the wretched store down the road. But what we can point out is that it will not affect any of our digital downloads. This weekend, Friday through Sunday, the 13th through the 15th, however you want to say it, every digital download, excluding Road Trip to Truth and Wretched Worldview, will be 50% off. Okay, so then it wouldn't be every digital download, then would it? Most digital downloads, that sounds better. Almost every digital download, however you think it should be termed, you get the point. They will be 50% off this weekend only, Friday through Sunday at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law. So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can any good thing come out of this nightmarish story? This is Wretched Radio, a government-funded research harvesting baby organs. $2 million sent to the University of Pittsburgh so that they can buy babies, specifically black babies. That's on the fetal tissue order form. Not only that, they prefer that there wasn't a lot of time between the death and when they're delivered, because it has something to do with the blood transfer and the health of the blood. And that has some people concerned. Are we maybe doing really late term stuff here to provide funded fetal tissue? Don't know that detail yet, but there was one detail in the story that at least caused me to find, okay, it's a thread of a silver lining, but I do believe this is something that you and I can use in the future regarding evangelism, specifically the defense against, well, I need to see it to believe it. What is that? Well, that's empiricism. That is the worldview that says it's got to be tested. It's got to be done in a lab. If I see it, then I'll believe it. Until then, I won't believe it. And this story actually proves that's nonsense. How? Do you remember the name David DeLeiden? He was the fellow who did the undercover work inside of Planned Parenthood's exposing the fact that they are transferring fetal tissue for money, for research. It was videotape beyond the shadow of a doubt. Question. Did that videotape persuade one pro-abort? Was anybody at Planned Parenthood convicted, oh no, we're doing a terrible thing here? What did they say about this video? Oh, no, that's not what was being said. No, that's not the full context of what they really meant by that. It's there on videotape. So the next time somebody says to you, you know, the whole Christian thing, if God would perform a sign for me, I'd believe it. No, you wouldn't. If we had videotape of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I promise you people wouldn't believe it. Because God has implemented a different system for belief. It's not signs and wonders. Those were merely to substantiate the claims, the preaching of the ones who were stating Jesus rose from the dead. It's the preaching of the word that persuades people, not apologetics. We love apologetics. We do apologetics. We study apologetics. We apply apologetics, but apologetics fall woefully short of conversion. They are a defense of the issue, but apologetics do not persuade. I was reading an article. Somebody sent me. It was a really good article, by the way, from Grunge Magazine, of all places. And somebody, some author there, I suspect whoever it was a Christian, laid out, here are the ways that the Bible reveals itself to be, I don't know if they said true or accurate. Remember, there's a big difference. And they listed all of the different ways. You know, the earth being round, the circle of the earth, the water system with evaporation and clouds and rain, all of those. Oh, and then archaeologically, this has been found, that's been dug up. And the fellow who wrote it, or the fellowette who wrote this, is correct. It just shows that the Bible is accurate. But none of those details, as rich as they are for us, as helpful as they can be for us, aren't going to convert anybody. You could find a chariot wheel. No, you could find 1,000 chariot wheels in the basin of the Red Sea. And I promise you, not one believer is going to go, whoa, I guess that's true. I think that I need to repent and put my trust in Jesus Christ. Now, might they, in a moment of clarity, admit, you know what? Okay, so fine. There, that did happen. But that doesn't prove that God did it. That doesn't mean that Moses and the Jews went through it first and then the Egyptians were washed out. That doesn't mean that. Why? Even if it had been videotaped, if the parting of the Red Sea had been videotaped, people would look at it and say, that was just motion graphics trickery, post-production. That's not real. Or maybe it was some sort of weird natural event, because they do try to come up with naturalistic explanations. They wouldn't believe it. They didn't believe David Dalyden's video about research money being used to traffic baby body parts. Don't fall for it. The next time somebody says to you, well, in order to believe this, I need to see it. Or, you know, if you had video of it, that'd be great. No, no, it wouldn't. It's not gonna do it. I could do a trick for you right now, and you're gonna say, no, that didn't come from the power of God. That was David Copperfield. We preach the word. We preach the word. We preach the word. That is what converts. And might I add this, simply because echoing around in my head right now, and there's a lot of echoing that happens up there, is our sermon from Sunday based on Nehemiah 9. That's right, Nehemiah 9, it had nothing to do with leadership principles. Instead, it had everything to do with the Jewish people that were repenting because of the preaching of the word. What do we see in Nehemiah 9? We see the word affecting a change. In the very beginning of Nehemiah 9, let's see, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Let me just find that for you. In Nehemiah chapter 9, it starts out with a lament. Whoa, we've really, really sinned. Why did they feel that way? And the answer is they'd been listening to preaching for days. You think your Sunday sermon is long? They were listening to preaching for days. And what was the effect of it? They realized they were sinners in need of repentance. This is Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. You threw dirt on your head to show abasement. That's how I'm feeling because of my sin. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. That's a long time. That's 6 hours. That's more than a 3-point alliterated sermon, I'll tell you that. And for another 1/4, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. That's what the word also does. It causes you to worship the Lord your God. But the word then, what we see in Nehemiah 9, is it also comforts them. Because it continues by recounting all of the things that God has done for them. Stand up and bless the Lord your God. Blessed be your glorious name. What's happening? The preaching of the word brought about a conviction of sin. Therefore, it brings about an acknowledgement of God's goodness when we continue studying the word, which then sets forth praise. Not strobe lights and dimly lit buildings with fog machines. You alone are the Lord. You made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host. You are the Lord God who chose Abram. It was Abram before it was Abraham. What is happening in Nehemiah? For comfort, we're recalling the goodness of God found in the Bible. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land. Verse 9, you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heeded their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh. What's going on in this sec? Why suddenly are we getting a bit of a doxology? Because that is what we need to hear when we've been hearing the word of God, when we've been convicted of sin, when things are difficult, when times are tough, when you realize the situation is a stinker. You go to the word and it is your comfort because that is how God works. And we see that in Nehemiah chapter 9. Was just listening to a Ray Comfort witness encounter. It was a kind of a squirrely one. It was just, the dude was pretty wrangly. And Ray opened up on what repentance is. And he just started bing, bang, boom with the Bible. Mark 1:15, Jesus Christ said, repent and believe the gospel. John the Baptist taught repentance. The book of Revelation, it ends with repentance. Repentance is everywhere. Abase yourself, you sinners. And he was Bible verse after Bible. And I was like, Ray, rock on. Because when you say a Bible verse, it has power. It actually has power. I know for sure it strikes my ear differently. If I hear a Bible verse paraphrased, it does not have the same oomph as the actual verse itself. It has some oomph, but not as much. Because the Holy Spirit uses His Word, which we have for us, to do great work. So please study your apologetics. Please make sure that you know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it wasn't a swoon theory, all of that. But note that they won't be persuaded with your defense of the faith. Instead, they need to be convicted. How? Well, if you can make them sit still for 6 hours and preach at them, you know, Jimmy.
Yes.
That would not be the worst mangling of Nehemiah I've ever heard. It's our new evangelism program. The 6 Hour Way to Salvation. It's our new resource available at wretched.org. Use the word. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, don't be surprised that you're not hearing this groundbreaking news I'm about to share with you anywhere else but right here on Wretched Radio. Coming out of Sweden, the prominent Karolinska Hospital issued a policy statement and ended the practice of prescribing puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for minors under the age of 16 due to significant risks. Stories like this aren't aberrations either. Increasingly, it appears that Europeans are recognizing the dangers of the transgender craze. From Finland, medical guidelines are now opposed to puberty blocking and adolescent transitioning, except in the most severe cases, and then only in a research setting. And it's looking like the consensus in an increasing number of places other than America is that puberty blocking is human experimentation. And speaking of America allowing this epidemic to overtake, another example of that is that the nation's financial markets regulator has approved a plan by NASDAQ to implement that all companies trading on its exchange meet diversity quotas. The NASDAQ stock market first submitted its proposed rule changes to the SEC in December, and it will roughly affect around 3,000 companies. So basically now, in order for a company to be publicly traded on NASDAQ, the SEC is requiring that there are LGBT and race quotas that company must abide by. According to Republican Senator Pat Toomey, who criticized the announcement, the SEC has become nothing more than a laboratory for progressive social engineering. And when things like this happen, it always tends to backfire. Just ask NBC and their recent coverage of the Olympics. The Associated Press reports that the Olympic ratings have crashed as Americans chose not to watch the 17-day spectacle in droves. NBC's ratings for this year's Olympic Games were down 50% as opposed to the 2016 Games. And a quote from the story about this from notthebee.com, Americans are tired of hearing their wealthy and privileged athletes tell the world that their country is backwards and oppressive and filled with idiots and racists. It's apparent that most Americans do not relate to that line of thinking from the most wealthy disciples of wokeism, the athletes of America. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless He reveals Himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed Himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Good news. Get your good news here. This is Wretched Radio. Just received this little letter. It's a thick one with a lot of pages. It's even stapled. From the Masters Academy International, you should be encouraged by this. If you're not familiar with TMAI, this is an offshoot of the Masters Seminary. Men from around the globe attend seminary in Los Angeles. They get their MDiv. They return back to their home countries where they set up, if you will, mini seminaries where they then disseminate. I think that's where we get the word seminary from right there. Yeah. They disseminate that information then to local pastors who currently could use a little education because they don't have the access that we have in the West. It's brilliant. They're in 17 countries, and they just sent me an update, and I was reading through it, and I just thought, this is the type of stuff that we should be focusing on? Because I know the world's going wacky. I totally get it. But it's at this very time that we need to fixate our eyes on Jesus. That we need to be seeing what he is doing and how he is working and how he is shaping and growing and preparing for eternity. That's the big stuff. The other stuff isn't irrelevant. Yesterday, we spent an entire day talking about the mandated V's. Want to work through that biblically. It's a big deal. What Jesus is doing is a bigger deal. And we're encouraged when we remember that. And perhaps this will encourage you. Let's span the globe. Albania. That's right. There's a seminary in Albania. It borders on the Adriatic. Thank you. Cheers. Please continue to pray for rapid progress in the Bible Translation Project. They're translating the Bible into Albanian. Please continue to pray for the translation of biblical doctrine, which is underway. So far, the team has finished more than half of the book. They don't have theology books in their own language, oftentimes, in a lot of countries. Albania is one of them. Masters Academy International, they're on it. Croatia. Impact. Praise the Lord that many of the TBA graduates are returning to assist in teaching at the training center. How cool is that? That's the Theological Biblical Academy in Croatia. So people who graduate from it, now they come back to teach other people. Because these are pastors typically that are, they're out, not in, well, sometimes they can be in populous areas, but they're basically alone. Very little training, very little teaching. TMAI comes along, trains them, and their eyes are opened. It's like, whoa. Now, here's where it gets tricky for these guys. They come to a seminary like this, a mini seminary, and they get all fired up. They learn all kinds of stuff about hermeneutics, and then they go back to the school or go back to their church, and they just try to lay it out, and not everybody jumps for joy. Be praying for that aspect of the work. And speaking of hermeneutics.
Herman who?
Did you see, Jimmy, did I send you that clip of the somebody, I think it was a woman in Texas. My buddy Ludie Creech sent this to me. This is going to be some quality radio right here. This is a woman. That's right. I'm actually going to find it on my phone and I'm going to play it into the microphone. That's right. Quality radio. Don't forget, you are listening to the most professionally produced radio program on this station at this time. All right, let's see if I can get her to say what she says. Here we go.
I believe this is God's work, and there's a wonderful scripture.
Okay, hold on. You got to know the context of this bad boy. They are talking about how to make sure that elections are fair for everybody, that everybody can vote. I don't know which side of the argument she's on. That doesn't really matter. Here we go. From my cell phone. 3, 2, 1. Hit it, lady.
I believe this is God's work. And there's a wonderful scripture about the security of elections that I want to read.
Oh, no.
And maybe some of us may have never heard before. It's 2 Peter 1:10. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
There it is.
For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. I love that scripture because this is what our watchers do. I believe this is God's work.
Please send that woman a copy of Herman Who available at wretched.org. That is some, you know, if you're going to twist scripture, that would be a pretty good example. If we're going to make Herman Who 3, she's going to be in it because I got to tell you something. I don't even know which side of the aisle that she's on. That's a mangling of the Bible. They teach hermeneutics at the Master's Academy. They send these pastors back to their local church. And it can be the work isn't done. Getting trained isn't enough. They need to bring their church along now. That is not easy. You can praise the Lord that in Croatia, they were able to hold a biblical counseling class with all of its students. They are focusing a lot on biblical counseling, which is Biblical counseling, different than Christian counseling. Biblical counseling basically is theology applied. You got yourself everything that we know, that we love theologically. Then you got life over on the other side. Biblical counseling, it's the transporting of that information. It's the bringing it from one side into the other. And they're doing it that at the Master's Academy in Croatia. Could you find it on a map? How's about the Czech Republic? Praise God, the preaching program will reopen in the fall. There are 10 prospective men who will be trained for the next 2 years. That's in the Czech Republic. That's another place where they don't have a lot of books in their own language. They're doing translation work there too. Deutschland, they're celebrating 20 years of ministry in Europe. That's pretty amazing. Training over 2,000 students in Germany. Martin Luther, well, okay, he wouldn't be proud because he disagreed with some of their theology, and he wasn't a big fan of ever shaking hands with somebody who was off on anything that he believed. In Germany, 2,000 men have been graduated from a good seminary. That's a movement. That's not just a statistic. That's a movement. That's a big thing. 2,000 men unleashed in local pulpits around Germany. That's the type of thing that changes a nation. Let's go to Honduras. The Lord has graciously allowed Meta. They each have their own names, by the way, the seminaries. They're all underneath Master's Academy International, which, by the way, wow. Jimmy, I need to put some dirt. I need to be Nehemiah. I need to put dirt on myself. I didn't even plug where you could go to support them.
Oh.
The shame. The shame. Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor. Honduras, welcoming back its students to the campus. They hope to have all four cohorts present by the end of the year. I don't know what that means myself. They've got partnerships that are going on with a training institute that they are partnership will not only allow two ministries to share resources, but it will also connect more students to the seminary for the potential of further training. So they've identified another good organization. They're partnering with them. See, that's a big work that God is doing. That's big stuff that's happening. Two smaller organizations becoming a medium-sized one that then go find another medium-sized one and they make it a bigger deal. Let's go to India. What is the Lord doing there? Praise the Lord for the needed funding and the recent acquisition of new property in which to hold classes. The team anticipates that the building project could host up to 100 people for classes and conferences. This has been an answer to several years of prayer. I wish I could show this to you, but I can't because it's radio. I have a video. You can go find it. We'll share it on TV someday. It's Paul Washer and his ministry. I'm telling some brothers that they've been working with, I think South Africa, someplace in Africa. It's kind of a big place, Todd. Someplace in Africa, and they've been praying for years. The local church has been praying for a building. And Paul Washer let them know via Skype or Zoom. A bunch of brothers and sisters got together and bought it for you. The building is yours. Oh. Oh. You could be a rock and still cry when you watch their response. Why? Because they've been praying for a building. And finally, God delivered it to them, courtesy of the saints. And they were so emotional, and I was so struck by that. Okay, so look at all that. Look at that. Look at this is work. This is work that's moving forward. This is God active all over the globe, doing stuff, building his church, not letting the gates of hell or COVID or forced vaccinations or CRT, nothing is overcoming it. And you and I would do well to remember these stories. I could take you all over the place. It's not just India. You got yourself Italy. Johnny Gravino's there. Japan. That's a tough place to have a seminary. Malawi. Mexico, the Middle East, can't tell you where, the Philippines, etc. Encourage you to support the Master's Academy, wretched.org/pastors. They are doing amazing work, and they are encouraging us in that work by reminding us that Jesus is still working. This is Wretched Radio. Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart if you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms. Careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to Mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Do you need help organizing your closets or maybe repainting the family room? Yeah, those are not things that we're going to be able to help you with, but what we can do is hopefully help you think biblically about your marriage and your kids. We can help you improve your theology and control your emotions a little bit better, all with our Wretched Bible Studies. Those are derived from our resources like Drive By Marriage, Drive By Parenting, Drive By Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. These studies are designed to take you deeper into the Word, but not bore you to tears. They're perfect for your youth group, your adult Bible study, or even your own personal study at home. Get one or all of them right now at wretched.org/study. While we can't do anything to help you put that piece of IKEA furniture together and the frustration and anger you're going to feel when you do it, we can help you react more biblically to it. Just head over to wretched.org/study right now and get yourself a Wretched Bible Study today. That's wretched.org/study.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is an epistle. Epistles are letters written to the church at large or to a specific church, which contain doctrine, theological arguments, and practical application. God uses first century correspondence to deliver his timeless truth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The gospel, that is the book that Jesus preaches?
It's, you follow the way of God, and I don't know, you do...
Religion, heaven, belief in God, everything is so personal, so I can't really answer that for you.
Well, then we'll give it a go for you. This is Wretched Radio, Road Trip to Truth, Season 1. If you've not seen this 13-episode series, encourage you to do so. Watch it with the youth, and I'm talking 7th grade and up. We tackle the subject of true and false conversions. This might not be more appropriate for anybody else. Let me see how many negatives I can put in there. This might be the most appropriate audience with whom to share this content about true and false conversions. Why? Because we're seeing scads of kids. And by the way, when I say scad, I don't mean South Carolina Art and Design School, which... Jimmy, I told you we were in Savannah a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Are you familiar with SCAD?
I am not, but I'm interested.
Okay. Well, there's a branch here in Atlanta. It's South Carolina Art and Design School. It's called SCAD, and they teach a wide variety, not just painting. but technology, all of that stuff, architecture, a lot of, they do a lot. And when we were in Savannah, we actually toured one building that wasn't owned by SCAD. I'm telling you, they own that town. Wow. There must be a humongous market for folks who are artistically bent, because I'm telling you, it was and lovely buildings, not just dormitories. They had those, but all of these lovely old homes and buildings that were churches that are glorious, pretty much owned by SCAD. I think Savannah, the city council, is actually meeting to change the name from Savannah to SCAD. We'll let you know how that vote goes forward. In the meantime, Road Trip to Truth addresses the problem that SCADs, oh, young people have. They're false converts. Why?
Getting the gospel right requires two things: understanding the correct information of the gospel and responding to the gospel correctly. 3/4 of Americans claim to be Christians, yet many don't know why the good news is so good. This happens for a variety of different reasons, but in the South especially, this is the fruit of cultural Christianity.
Consider yourself a Christian?
My family does, but not me.
I'm a spiritualist, I believe in metaphysics, but I definitely grew up in a Christian culture.
So I teamed up with Christian rap artist Shy Lin to take a deeper look at cultural Christianity.
Groovy music segue.
Shy, we've been talking about the gospel, and you explained that the gospel is the good news, but there's a lot of people who have maybe heard that or have grown up in church who are no longer living that life. Why didn't it work for those people?
So one, it could be they grew up in a Christian home with Christian parents, and the faith was their parents' faith.
I identify as an atheist, although my parents are Christian.
But they never actually embraced it for themselves. And they didn't realize until they got out of the home, away from all of the youth groups, the Christian activities, even the missions trips, those kinds of things. Once they're on their own, they realize that, wait a second, it's not my faith. This is my parents' faith. And then they're left to discover what they believe.
And it usually isn't good. Now, just imagine that clip is shown in your youth group. Do you think that the youth pastor, as totally inept as he might be, couldn't stumble over this subject and discuss it with the kids to hear, hey, guess what? Now, you don't get to skate on your parents' coattails. You've got to respond to this. And I'm going to encourage you to do that right now.
When you talk about little sins, like lying or having bad thoughts or coveting, why does such a small thing to us deserve such a big punishment with God, like hell forever?
The reason why it's a small thing to us is because we're sinful. A pig who's rolling around in the mud, a little bit of dirt, like that's a small thing for the pig. God is perfectly righteous.
Definition of righteousness.
When you think about hell and the wrath of God, people would say, yeah, that punishment doesn't fit the crime. But when you think about punishment, you have to consider, number one, who the crime is being committed against. So, for example, if you step on a roach and kill it, nobody would care about that. But if you were to shoot a dog, people would care about that.
Right.
If you were to shoot a human being, people would really care about that. So take God and just mark that out. God is infinitely perfect, infinitely holy, infinitely pure, infinitely good. He's the greatest being in the universe. So every sin is a crime against that being, that infinite being. And so therefore, it deserves an infinite punishment. Mm-hmm. In our own judicial system, judges have authority to give what's known as multiple life sentences. Someone commits a mass murder. There's one life sentence stacked on top of another, on top of another. Now, in reality, we know that because of the average lifespan of a person, that person's not going to actually be able to serve it, but the judge gives that sentence anyway. In the same way, when you think about the crime that's being committed against God, it's absolutely reasonable that it would be infinite life sentences. The punishment does, in fact, fit the crime because of who the crime is committed against.
Most kids in evangelical youth groups never heard that. maybe they can tie a knot out of a cherry stem with their tongue, because that's one of the wacky games the kids will play. But they're not learning the very basics of the Christian faith, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sin isn't exceedingly sinful. Salvation, therefore, ain't such a big deal. Road Trip to Truth, this is season one, which kind of makes us chuckle around here, because season two is actually being printed right now. That'll be available at the end of the year, and we are actually going out, I believe, yeah, next week. Oh, this is going to be so... this is going to be so good. Paul Twiss, for instance, is going to be with us. He's at Master's Seminary. And he's got a bit of an accent, so he sounds smarter than the rest of us. Because, well, he is. He's an Old Testament prof. And he's going to deal with all of those accusations that get hurled, even by some pastors, against the Old Testament. And show how the Bible is axiomatic. It's self-proving. By showing the consistent threads that are woven throughout the fabric of the Bible, you have to conclude that tapestry says God wrote this book. It's going to be outstanding. With Tom Hammond, we're going to do bumper sticker philosophy. All the little slogans that get bandied about these days, telling our kids how to think, accept it as truth, they are typically grounded in a really bad philosophical system. That's right. We're going to be doing that, season three, with youth groups in the church, because they're not typically getting that.
Are you a Christian? If so, why? If I came up to you and asked you, how do I become a Christian, would you struggle giving me the answer?
Why do you think a person should believe in Jesus?
Well, he helps me go through life, and that's who I turn to whenever I need help, and it's just who I believe in and who I've always believed in. Yeah.
Just any of your worries, any of your struggles, you know, you just, you have your faith in Jesus Christ and, you know,
just being open, like having an honest heart. That's basically what it is.
It's about influencing other people to be better and by being a good person yourself.
Stop. Wasn't hard to find those kids.
Shai, what do you have to say to the person who feels kind of confronted by this?
First and foremost, we have to realize that we were created for God. We exist for Him. And we will not live out the purpose of our existence until we embrace Him. And He has been so merciful and so kind to us to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins, to be raised from the grave. And He sends out this offer of salvation to everybody. So it doesn't matter what your past has been like. It doesn't matter what you've done. A lot of times people think, man, I've committed this or I've done this. God will never forgive me. Well, Jesus Christ, He came to save sinners.
You know, that covers everything that we've ever done. Even most evil, murderous criminals can find a way to redemption through Him.
So you're exactly the type of person that Jesus came for if you have a bad past. Sometimes people say, well, let me live my life and kind of do my thing. And then when I get old and have kids or something, then I'll... No, today is the day of salvation. Number one, tomorrow is not promised to you at all. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you have more time than you actually have. God wants you to believe in Him today.
Don't dilly-dally is the message. That would be episode 10, Road Trip to Truth, season one. It has a study guide. Don't forget, it also has a homeschool curriculum. How do you like your kids to dive deeper into these subjects? It's robust. It was written by Dr. Dana Snead, Answers in Genesis. If your kids are inside of any sort of youth group, would encourage you, please share this with them, because you don't want your kid to become yet another statistic. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.